You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Hey, it's good to be with you. And we've already had a good weekend. Got a lot planned this week. And I got some things to share that I think are going to be apropos for everybody here. So let's start off in an obscure passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 7. So we'll give you 45 seconds to get there. Book of Micah. When's the last time you opened the book of Micah? It's kind of obscure, chapter 7. Because I'm talking this morning about what we call the burden of the Lord. And really the question is to you, what is the burden of the Lord? What is it? You hear the phrase, the word burden of the Lord? What is the burden of the Lord? So we start by taking what we call a prophetic stance. I'll explain that by going to one of the prophets in the Old Testament, prophet Micah. Because like every generation, every season of life, what we really need to hear from God is what we call a proceeding word. God, how do we proceed? This happens, another thing happens, another event. You look at events in the world, crisis, pressure, economic meltdowns. America in one of our favorite seasons called election year. And you say, God, how are we going to proceed? So we go to God and we go like the prophets did. And what the prophets did is they came and they took a prophetic stance before God. And we see how Micah did that. In a time of crisis, there's stuff going on even in his own family. There's stuff going on with people. There was contempt going on. There was enemies. And yet Micah in verse 7 of chapter 7 says, as for me, in spite of all the stuff going on in the world, as for me, I will look to the Lord. That is so important. You can look to Fox News. You can look to the newspaper. You look on your favorite website. But you know what? As for me, the prophet said, I'm going to look to the Lord. And then he says, and then I'm going to wait on the God of my salvation. You know, waiting on God is a torture for most Christians. I don't have to wait. I'm an American. I don't wait for anything. Wait, I'm going to wait upon the God of my salvation. And when he says the God of his salvation, see, when you think about God saving you, like we sang some of these songs, the fact that he saved you and he waited. He waited for the exact time. He waited for that exact moment. He is worth waiting for. The God of your salvation is the God that's worth waiting for. And so the prophet positions himself, I will look to the Lord, I will wait upon the God of my salvation, but he doesn't just sit there and do nothing. He says, my God will hear me, which means I'm going to be talking to him. My God will hear me. You know, a lot of times we come to church, we say, you know, I need to hear from God. I need a word. I want a good sermon. I need a prophecy. I need a word from God. And sometimes God says, hey, I want a word from you. I want you to talk to me. Because the prophet promises, my God, which God? The God of my salvation, he will hear me. Hey, if he saved you and you weren't even talking to him yet, right? You weren't talking to him. You ignored him. You were lost, yet he saved you. It's so he could start a conversation and a life with you. My God will hear me. So we see this looking, this waiting, this talking, a pouring out. The prophets poured out to God. Throughout all these various writings of the prophets, they were pouring themselves out to God first so that God could pour back into them the word of the Lord. When that word came to the prophets, when God began to talk back and deliver, it was what the prophets called the burden of the Lord. The burden of the Lord. So if you go just two books over in the book of Habakkuk, two books over, here we have another prophet. He's a short prophet. He's not a minor prophet. I don't believe in minor prophets. There's no such thing as a minor prophet or a major prophet. There's short prophets and long prophets. Hey, if you made it in the book, you're not a minor prophet. You're a dude, man. You got some ink. So Habakkuk starts out his very writing with this phrase, the burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Listen, I'm not going to do all the work for you. You don't have all the PowerPoints. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to have to do a little of your own work. It's like, what, we're waiting for the slide. No, don't, just listen. Just listen and follow along, but use your favorite device. The prophet said, this is what I saw, and he called it the burden. The burden that he saw. Do you know the burden of the Lord can be seen? You can see it. The prophets began to see it. And this word is very interesting because the burden that came upon him turned into an oracle, which is another word for this Hebrew word, masah. It became an oracle in his mouth. The prophets began to then explain what they saw. And the first thing he saw, verses 2, 3, and 4, was a lot of garbage. He saw a lot of rough stuff. He said, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you just won't hear. That sounds like almost the opposite of what Micah said, right? But he's being real. He's being human. He's being just like you and me. How many times would you say those are the very thoughts that I've had? Lord, how much longer do I have to pray? And you just don't seem like you're even listening. He's complaining. Do you know it's okay to complain to God? He can take it. In fact, I recommend you complain to God first before you complain to the other person in your house that you're married to. But anyway, Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you won't hear? How long will I cry to you? Violence, but you won't save. How come you're not involved, God? Why do you make me see iniquity, but you just idly look at all this wrong? Do you ever feel like that? It's like, God, don't you know that they're going to blow up that airport in Brussels and you do nothing about it? You ever feel that way? Kind of like, God, what, are you on duty? What's going on? The prophets were frustrated. They're pouring out, destruction and violence are before me. Strife and continues to rise. Oh my gosh, the law is paralyzed. The wicked seem to rule. God, what's going on? This is the prophet. I will look to the Lord. I'll wait upon the God. My God will hear me, all right. Oh man, is he going to get an earful this morning? My God will hear me. And he got all done. It's kind of like God goes, are you done? And he wants to go, come on, get it all out. Are you done now? Yeah, I'm done. Okay. He says, okay, so here's the answer. Habakkuk 1:5, he says, hey, prophet, what? You're looking in the wrong place. He directs his focus to another realm, another place. Because the burden that he saw was fixed on the trouble and the confrontation and all the mess. And he said, listen, look to the nations and see. I'm going to change your focus. Wonder and be astounded. I love this. Wonder and be astounded, for I'm doing a work in your days that, well, frankly, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. I really believe this is a very apropos word for us today. We're living in times just like the prophet Habakkuk saw. He saw it. It became a burden to him. And he began to unload to God, and then God just says, here's the deal. Look to the nations. And what that word nations really means, the peoples. It was used of the Gentiles, the peoples, the people groups. He goes, look to people. Because that's where God's looking all the time. God's looking for people. Look to the nations and see and wonder and be astounded. Because I'm doing work in your days that, he said, frankly, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. So I'm not going to tell you because you'd sin and I don't make anybody sin. So therefore, I can't tell you until you take a prophetic stance and are ready. And God's getting the church ready to take a prophetic stance to say, God, show us what's going on. The church should be the prophetic voice of the nations. We have the privilege of connecting with the God of our salvation so that he can tell us what's going on. And he always says, look to the nations. Go look to the peoples. If you look at what I'm doing in people groups and in nations, then you'll see, you'll wonder, you'll be astounded. And he says, I've got things yet to tell you that you're not quite ready because if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. How many know unbelief is sin? I thought I'd get an amen. It's in the book of Romans. Whatever's not of faith is, don't, I hate that verse. It won't go away. I've tried black highlighters. It just comes right back through. Whatever's not of faith, which is unbelief, is sin. So God's saying, I'd like to tell you some of the things I'm about to do. You'll wonder, you'll be astounded, but if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. So then you'd sin. So I'm going to withhold. God's withholding some things until we take a prophetic stance and are ready to receive the burden of the Lord. See, in the Old Testament, it was just for the prophets, and it was their job to deliver it. Let's look at how they did that. This word, burden, is the Hebrew word, masah. And the prophets used it in prophetic vocabulary because it described simply a carrying of something. In the action form, would be carrying something, carrying a load of something, a cargo. It would actually, in the noun form, it was cargo. It was stuff. It was a load. And the idea of the root word of this comes as lifting up a load and carrying it somewhere. Very simple. Lifting up a load and carrying it somewhere. So the burden of the Lord became a load, a weight that came upon the prophets, and their assignment was to carry it to the people that they were to deliver it to. It became an oracle in their mouth, and it stayed there until they spoke. So the idea of lifting was the lifting of the voice. That's what the very word means, the lifting up of the voice. The prophets would lift their voice and prophesy and deliver the cargo of the kingdom into the people. That's what they did, elevating the voice. Sometimes it was a song, sometimes translated the song of the Lord, Masah. And it became a desire within the prophets. It became a longing. They couldn't sleep. They couldn't wait. They had to get it out. It became a yearning, the burden of their heart. Does this make sense now when you say, what's the burden of the Lord? Oh, it's a deep, deep inner transaction between you and God. He burdens you with something. And it stays there until you do something with it. Until you lift up your voice and you carry it and you do something. And in the literal sense, it was used like they would put packs on donkeys and camels to transport loads. When the Levites had to transport the tabernacle, everybody in the Levitical tribe, they had an assignment. You're going to carry these posts, you're going to carry this, you carry this. Everybody had a load. It's the same word, Masah. Everybody had a load to carry. It was used prophetically over 25 times in the Old Testament to understand these burdens. They were there, and they stayed there until they expressed them somehow. You know that God wants to be expressed in the earth? If we don't do it, nobody else will. Maybe some rocks and stones. How embarrassing that he would cause rocks and stones to cry out if we don't. It is our privilege. It is our right. It is our duty to express God. I'm so excited about your evangelism thing. I mean, that's perfect. Why? Because that's the word euangelizo for evangelize is literally means to declare and proclaim the good news. I mean, Helena needs to go, hey, Helena, there's good news. You don't look very happy this morning. Is everything okay? Did somebody give you some really bad news? I mean, there's good news. Man, you're going to be saved. We get to go to heaven. All those things. It's like, we got the good news. And yet, how are they here? Romans tells us, how were they here unless someone preaches on the lesser sin? So this all ties in with the burden of the Lord. This is God's biggest burden. His greatest burden is to see the lost saved. The burden of the Lord, you see, is the most intimate thing that God gives you to participate in his program. God's got a program. God's got a plan. He's got it all figured out. As Isaiah said, he knows the end from the beginning. Only God knows that. God's got it all figured out. He's got a plan. And so he calls us to participate in his plan by giving us his burden. It's intimate. You know why? It's yours. It's yours. It's personal. And here's the other thing. You can't imitate it. You can't fake it till you make it. You can't fake a burden from the Lord. Oh, you can be emotional, and you can shake, and you can do weird stuff, but deep down inside, you can't make up a burden. But here's the other thing. You can have it, and you can lose it. You can lose the burden of the Lord. And I think there's some of you here today that you've had the burden of the Lord, but you've lost it. Maybe you just don't even know what it is. And I think today God's trying to make a transaction with you today. He's trying to make it clear to you. What is the burden of the Lord? So let's go to the New Testament and kind of look at how this plays out in the New Testament. This is what the Old Testament prophets carried for the people. But now we're in the New Covenant and Jesus is our prophet. And we are one with him and we are a prophetic people, not just waiting for prophets to tell us what God's saying. We become prophetic people. And so in the book of Galatians, Paul's writing to Christians, chapter 6. And Paul starts out, you know, brothers, if you see someone taken in a transgression or a fault, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. And then he goes in this interesting assignment that has to come to us as the people of God. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because people what? Are going to be taken up in transgression. People are going to stumble. That word literally means a misstep, a stumble, trip and fall. If you see, brothers, if you see, he's talking to Christian community now. He's starting out, this is our responsibility right here in Mount Helena Community Church. If you have see anybody that is caught in a transgression, they stumble, they fall, they have a bad week, a bad day, whatever, you who are spiritual should restore him, not expose him, not point him out and say, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I saw it coming. I knew he was, you know, it's like, no, that's not being very spiritual. That's being judgmental and carnal, and that's why the church gets a bad rap sometimes. You who are spiritual, restore. Seek to restore them. That word restore is the same word used for the equipping of the saints, katartismos, same word. Restore them. It was also used in the medical world of that day, katartismos, to the setting of a broken bone. You know how you set a broken bone? You come up and put splints on it or a cast, and you hold it in place until it heals. And Paul's saying, listen, there's going to be people that have stuff happen in their lives, and it causes a burden. And we go and bear one another's burdens. We become a splint, a cast. We stand with them, shoulder. We hang on to them, say, that's okay, I'm here for you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to hold you up. And as part of equipping, it was also used to mend. When the disciples were mending their nets, same word. To mend and restore. There's a lot of people that are all ripped up out there. No, the net of God is how we fish. The kingdom of heaven is like a net, Jesus said, that's cast into the sea, and we pull in a great draw of fish. But sometimes the net gets ripped. Why? Because of transgression. And you know who rips the net? Most of the time, it's God's people. We rip it with our tongues. We go out and use sharp words, and we rip relationships, and we rip people's lives up, and then we walk away, and then fish are out there, and they swim right through the net because we're all messed up, and we need healing. We need mending. We need to be restored. How? One another. He said, bear one another's burdens. And what happens when you do that? He says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Powerful. The word burden there in the New Testament is a word baros. It means a very heavy weight. Heavy. So heavy, it's too much for one person. Too much for one person. You ever felt under that kind of weight? Like, this is just too much. This is too much. And the world has nowhere to go except for drugs and alcohol and, you know, all the stuff they try to medicate. They're trying to get restored. They want to be healed. They want somebody to mend them and hold next to them, but they don't know where to go. But we, according to the Bible, Paul says, we must fulfill the law of Christ when this happens. And what's the law of Christ? Very simply, what? Love the Lord your God, right, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. When you do that, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. That's beautiful. That's designed to be that way. There are people that just are under so much weight, a heavy weight, baros weight. They don't know what to do. It's our job. And they won't necessarily always walk in here on Sunday morning. They're going to be at your workplace. They're going to be at the shopping center. They're going to be in your schools. They're going to be all around. They might be in your neighborhood. You can see it on people. Way down, baros, heavy, it's too much. We come alongside. He said, well, I think I can do that. I think we can do that. Maybe that's part of the vision for this evangelism thrust, to go out and not just, you know, like, I want to give you a track and I want to thump my Bible a little. It's like, look for people. Let the Holy Spirit take you to people that have baros weight. They're so burdened. They need the good news. They need the good news. Hey, we can lift that off you. We can help you. We can restore you. We can heal you. We can take some of that load off you. Man, you'll change their life and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. But then Paul does something really like, what are you doing, Paul? Paul sometimes uses words on purpose that become like a double negative, or he just has a play on words sometimes. And he uses another word, translated burden, right down in verse 5. He says, now look, bear one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, okay, got that, Paul. We're going to go evangelize, tell the good news, help people, start all these, you know, social stuff. And then he says, but wait, I want you to know, every person must bear their own burden. And you go, huh? You just told us to bear one another's burdens, and now you're putting this back on me? Yeah, each one will have to bear his own burden. And the only way you can understand that is to look at it in the Greek, because it's a different word. It's not the word baros. It's a different word. It's phortion. What an interesting word. Every person must bear his own fortion. What is a fortion? Fortion, his own assignment, his own load, a personal load. Not too much, personal. A service, a burden, a task. It was actually used in the shipping industry to define actually the invoice that they would hand off to describe what was being invoiced and what must be carried, that assignment. Like everybody gets an invoice from God. You know, we get invoiced, like, I want you to carry this. Jason, I want you to carry this. Rick, you got to. Everybody needs to carry something in the kingdom for God. That's the burden of the Lord. Different from the burdens of the world and the burdens of transgression and the burdens of sin that are too much for any one of us, but everyone must bear his own burden because that's what we call in the New Testament. That is the burden of the Lord for you. It's your personal assignment. And the best way I could figure it out, it's like trying to figure this out with the language. I said, God, show me, give me a picture. And so the easiest thing, because I do tend to travel a little bit, I carry a backpack because it's cool now. Before I had the little thing with the rollers and I was rolling my way down, you know, the concourses. And now after a while, I started looking like nobody was rolling anymore. Everybody's backpacking. So it's like, I better get a backpack so I can be cool and not stand out. And so I got a backpack, and I started looking around. Everybody's got a backpack now. We are living in the backpack generation. Everybody's got backpacks. Kids have them. My grandkids have them. Everybody has a backpack. Even if there's nothing in it, you have to have a backpack just to look cool. Got to have a backpack, man. And if you're really cool, you'd only put one loop on. I figured that out. Otherwise, you look kind of, you know, like this. But if you put one loop on, then you can stroll, and you're just kind of cool with your one thing hanging. And you're and then you, when nobody's looking, you switch because it's heavy, but you gotta carry your backpack everywhere. Everywhere. You get on a plane, everybody gets tucked in, everything. They take off, and all of a sudden, like, when the seatbelt, ding, 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 everybody grabs their backpack. I gotta have my backpack. There, I'm okay now. I got my backpack. And guys, if we would really admit it, we finally have an excuse to carry a purse. Finally. Finally. But it's cool, because it's a backpack, so. Everyone must bear his own backpack. That's what Paul's saying to the Galatians. Why? Because in that backpack is your assignment from God. See, when you get saved, you get a backpack. When you come into the kingdom, the first thing you get issued is a backpack. Now, with the military guys, you know this, right? Military people. They call it, I was just in Britain, they call it a rucksack. I have no idea what a ruck is. I know what a ruckus is, so I'm I think it has to do with commotion and confusion, so maybe it works. But anyway, you carry a rucksack, a backpack. You're issued a backpack. The Roman soldiers had a backpack. They had a fortion that they carried with their essentials, you know. And think about it. We come into the kingdom, and God says, here's your backpack. And it's personal. It's got your initials on it. It's cool. It's your backpack. And you must bear that. You must bear your own. Because in the backpack is everything that God assigns to you. In there is, first of all, your salvation. Your salvation's in there. That's why sometimes we have to sing and remind ourselves what's in the backpack. The God who saved me. Oh, my! I forgot this week. I forgot I was saved. And your wife goes, well, the way you acted, I can understand. But anyway, everyone, your salvation's in there. Grace is in there. Faith. Everything that God gives. The gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in there. Your prayer language. Everything is in there. Now listen, your devotions aren't in there. You have to get those yourself. You know. Your knowledge of the Bible is not in there until you have, there's some things you have to put in there so you can have a successful journey. But everything that you need for life and godliness comes in the backpack. But here's the thing. You know what we do? We start looking at other people's backpack. Hey, I'd kind of like what's in your backpack. I don't have a guitar in my backpack. I'd like to play guitar. Suddenly we start coveting one another's backpacks and the contents of that backpack. And then we want to make shady deals in the back of the church. Like, hey, I'll trade you this for this, okay? It's like, I want that anointing. You give me that. And suddenly, we're like kids. My grandkids all have backpacks. It's kind of like, one has Superman. One has, it's like, hey, I want Batman. No, I want Batman. We squabble and we want to trade. Listen, you can't trade your backpack with anybody else. It's your backpack. Every man must bear his own burden, his own fortion. Because your assignments are in there. Assignments only you can carry out. It's your cargo. It's your, the way you present the gospel is in your backpack. So when you're going to do evangelism, then to hear about it, it's kind of like, you can't just sit there and go, that's not in my backpack. Yes, it is. It's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission's in everybody's backpack. Go into all the world and make disciples, share the good news. Everybody's a proclaimer. Proclamation of the gospel is in your backpack. How you do it? Personal. That's yours. Don't say, man, I wish I had his presentation of the gospel. I want that and put it in my. No, that's the way he presents the gospel. You do it your way. And you got to find out from God. That's how you take a prophetic stance. God, I will look to the Lord, wait on the God of my salvation. My God will hear me when I say, God, what is in my backpack? What did you put in there? Because sometimes you're walking along and life's not too bad, and all of a sudden you feel this, ugh, what was that? Suddenly, there's this burden. You ever get the, kind of like, I got it. What's wrong with you? I don't know, I just have this burden today. Well, now you know what it is. God snuck up when you weren't looking. He unzipped your backpack, and he stuck an assignment in there and zipped it up and walked away, and you kind of went, ugh! Why do I feel so heavy today? I just feel heavy. I feel this weight. God says, new assignment. New assignment. Go deliver. Go carry it. Lift, carry, execute, do it. And we whine and we complain. And, I need prayer. I need counseling. And it's like, no, you need a prophetic stance. Look to the Lord. Wait on him. God will hear you when you go, God, what is in my backpack today that I didn't feel before? What's this assignment? And it might be just prayer. I got to pray for somebody. The lifting of the voice in prayer unto God for the burden he puts in you is fulfilling the assignment. I prayed. I lifted my voice. I carried the burden, the assignment, the weight of somebody else's situation, and I fulfilled the law of Christ. That's how we take our personal burden and turn it into the corporate bearing of one another's burdens. Here's the good news about this backpack. Go over to Matthew chapter 11. I'll give you a little insight here on probably a familiar passage of Scripture. But we get a little more insight this morning when we begin to understand the difference between heavy burdens and personal burdens and our assignments and what God expects of us and how we really can do it without causing frustration and difficulty. So Jesus said this, knowing that everybody must carry their own backpack, he begins to help us and how to do that, how we can do it. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now, you've heard that verse 100 times. You've probably quoted it. But what does that really mean in light of this? Well, it's interesting because when he says, come to me, all that labor, and that's mean to be weary from working. And listen, when we're in the kingdom, or no matter what we're doing, there are times we get weary from working. All that are laboring, and then he says, and are heavy laden. It's very interesting. The word laden is that same word, phetizo, same word for burden. That word, by the way, is only used 2 times in all the New Testament, here and over in Galatians 6. It's the only time phetizo is there. And one time is, you must bear your own phetizo, you must have your own backpack. But then Jesus said, now listen, come to me, all you that are laboring, and when the backpack gets heavy, heavy laden, when you're heavy laden, when you're overburdened. And you know where that comes from? I'll show you where it comes from. Hold there. Go to Luke. I told you it was going to make you work this morning. Luke 11:46. Here's the other use of that word in this context. Luke 11:46, Jesus is using the same word, but he's using it in the context of the Pharisees, religion. He said, woe to you lawyers, Luke 11:46, woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear. Got that? You're loading up people with burdens that are hard to bear. You yourselves don't even touch the burden, not even with your fingers. The idea behind this overburdening was also used in the context in the secular Greek of kind of ceremonial burdens, things that we, because sometimes in Christianity, we get caught up in the ceremony and the rituals and the religion, and suddenly we get overburdened because it's like, God, I didn't put that in your backpack. I never put ceremony and religion and all that stuff. See, the Pharisees tried to put all the extra laws and regulations on the people, and they became overburdened. They were stuffing and cramming rocks and weights inside the backpack. You know, here, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. And Jesus is going, hey, come to me. When you got that feeling, I'm overburdened. When the backpack gets too heavy, come to me. I'll help you sort it out, because when I put it in there, it's easy. It's light, because that's what he goes on to say. Come to me when you're overburdened. I'll give you rest. I'll help you learn how to rest when that happens. 29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Very interesting instruction there. Because now Jesus takes the concept of the backpack and hooks it together with the concept of the yoke. He says, here's how I will give you rest. First of all, take my yoke upon you. You know, when the backpack gets heavy and you get overburdened is when you start doing things in your own ability and your own power. Or when God gives you an assignment and you say, thank you, I got it from here, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I can do it. And Jesus said, whoa, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Sometimes we say, take my yoke upon you, but I want to emphasize the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. The very word yoke means to join together, to couple. He says, join with me, couple up with me. It was also used of the balance beam between the scales, you know, to balance. And the reason why we get overburdened is we're out of balance. Why? We're not yoked with Christ. The yoke was designed for two heads. Two heads. Yours and Jesus's. It was designed for that. That's his yoke. The yoke of Christ is him and you pulling the load together. That's why he says, look, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. My yoke's easy. It becomes heavy when we don't realize Jesus has to pull every assignment. He does the heavy lifting. If he gives you the assignment, he's going to give you the grace, the faith, everything you need to carry it out. Some of you met my pastor that was here in August, Kendrick, little short guy, tall. Kendrick gives the illustration one time. He's got a little bit of acreage. He's a wannabe, you know, Montanan, I think. He's got a little tiny barn and a little bit of ranch, but he loves that whole culture. And so they bought an old kind of a secondhand golf cart to bop around their acreage, and their little 9-year-old daughter, it's like her car. She goes everywhere in that golf cart, and it's battery. And so one time it just died outside, out in the field. So she comes and gets her dad, and they go out there, and he's tinkering. He's like, well, we're going to have to push it back to the house. Okay, Daddy. She's 9, right? There's Kendrick, you know, 6'5". Okay, he's like, okay, come on, help me, Amelia. So, you know, he grabs the steering wheel, and he goes, and Kendrick's 6'5". He's like, come on, let's go. He's pushing this golf cart back to the house. And little Amelia, she's behind it, pushing, going, wee, this is fun, Daddy. This is fun. It's like, you go, yeah, that's real. I'm doing all the... But that's such an illustration of being in the yoke of Christ. He does all the heavy pushing. He says, my yoke is easy. I'll do all the heavy pushing. You just get back and go, I'm yoked with Jesus, you know. This is fun. Christianity should be fun. You all look like you drank prune juice and pickle juice this morning. What's wrong? You should be smiling going, this is fun. We're supposed to have fun. Why? Because his yoke is easy. It's easy when you're yoked with him. It gets hard when we forget that we're supposed to be yoked with him. We get in the yoke of self-will, self-desire, self-ability. I can do it. Self-authorization. I authorize myself to do it. And she said, I never authorized that. Good luck. It's going to get heavy. Just come to me. I'll show you where you went off. Come to me when you're overburdened. I'll give you rest. I love that word rest. Doesn't mean inactivity, it means time out. Sometimes, you know, we need a time out. It's translated sometimes in secular Greek as intermission. It's like sometimes you're just like, oh, it's like, okay, intermission. Come to me and I'll give you an intermission. Now, during intermission, he says, come and learn from me. I want to teach you. A time when you're overburdened is not so bad because it can be a learning time. When you come to him, don't just come and say, take this backpack, I'm sick and tired of it. It's like, no. He says, no, you can't turn your backpack in. But what Jesus does is, I think he takes inventory with you. I like it. You know that invoice? He goes, let's go through your invoice. Let's see what's in the backpack. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's that doing in there? I never put that in there. You didn't? Take it out. Okay, what else is in there? Okay, good. What's that doing in there? Who put that? I didn't put that in. You didn't? Well, Lord, I put it in. I thought it would really be pleasing to you if I did this and you'd be happier. And I didn't put it in there. No wonder you're so overburdened. See, we learn from him. Sometimes when I travel, and after maybe a couple months, my backpack is having to go, what on earth did I, because I just cram stuff in. Sometimes I unzip all the zippers, and I just take and I go, I just dump it out and go, oh my God, what was that? I've been carrying this book around, that someone gave me. Here, you need to read this. Pastors, right? Hey, Jay, you need to read this. Thank you. Along with the other 60 books I've had this year from the things I need to read. But anyway, you go, what is that doing? I've been carrying stuff around that other people were putting in my backpack. And every now and then you got to just dump out your backpack with Jesus and sort through it and go, that belongs, that doesn't. Get rid of that, get rid of that. By the way, and just you have to go back and say, God, what is in my backpack? Come and take inventory with Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. He'll balance you. Because he says, I am meek. Or gentle in some of your translations. Because I am meek. Do you know, this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus gave a character description of himself. Yes, I am the Son of God. I am the great I am. I am the door. All those things, those are symbolic of who he was. But this is the one time he described his own character. The only time. And he didn't say, I'm strong and I'm the Son of God and I can. He goes, no, come learn from me in this whole burden bearing thing, because there's one character quality you must have if you're going to bear the burden of the Lord. You must be meek. And you think, there we go. Weak. Oh, weak Christians. No, it's actually the opposite. Weak does not mean meek, or meek mean weak. The word meek is the Greek word praus, and you would know this out here in horse country. It's the breaking of a wild horse. You meek the horse. It literally means to bring strength, great strength, under control of another. That's what that word praus means. He says, learn from me. Why? He says, because I am meek. I've been meeked. My strength, which is all the strength in the universe, is under the control of another. All my strength, all my capacity, my ability, it's all under the control of the Father. He says, come learn from me. You need to be meek. What does that mean? Everything you need has to be under the control of another master. It has to be under my, that's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? Because I've done that. See, Jesus is yoked with the Father. It's a powerful union. That's why he made bizarre statements like, I don't do anything except I see my Father doing it. Father goes, we're going to go left, son. Okay, let's go left. Now we're going to go straight. Okay, we go straight. He never questioned. He just said, I only, whatever my Father says we do, we do. Whatever he says, I say. And that's the simplicity of, that's what makes the yoke easy. So he says, take my yoke upon you. I am meek. I'm lowly in heart. And you will then find rest for your what? Your soul. Not just take a nap because my body's tired. Rest for your soul. Here's the deal. We talked about the backpack, and that's a great symbol. But really, where is your internal backpack? It is your soul. It's your inner man. It's the soul. It's your mind, your will, your emotions. All those things, that's where we get burdened, actually. Because you can take a nap and wake up and say, I've still got the burden. I'm still burdened. You can nap all day, but you're not going to get rid of what's in your soul because we carry it. It comes through the Spirit, but we carry it in our soul. And he says, you'll find rest. Same word. You'll find intermission. I like that. You'll find rest for your soul. For, here's the conclusion, ready? My yoke is easy. Now watch. And my burden is light. Now, he uses the word burden. Which word do you think that is? Is it baras, too heavy? Or is that fortion? Come on, this is Greek class. Come on, raise your hand and answer. No, sorry. You're all Greek scholars now. See, you say, obviously, Clem, that's fortion. We knew that. Yeah, it's fortion. My backpack is easy. Say, look, at my yoke is easy. My backpack, it's light. So when you feel burdened, when you're overburdened, it's time to take a time out with Jesus and come to him and say, time out, intermission, I need some rest. I need to take inventory. Jesus, what is going on? Why am I this? And then he'll show. He goes, this is my burden. I want you to pray. I want you to reach that person. I want you to take dinner over to them. Someone has a baby. Here's the thing. Someone has a baby, and we rally the troops, right? It's like, okay, well, we'll take dinner over on Tuesday, and we'll go do this, and then other people are going to like, I'll pray. You go, you lazy slob. Just what do you mean you'll pray? Because prayer's in their backpack. They still need prayer, folks. See, we judge other people like, all they're doing is praying, and here I am cooking dinner for... It's like, well, dinner's in your backpack, but prayer's in their backpack. You see how simple it is? And you can't say, well, why don't you... We can't covet or condemn what's in one another's backpack because they have to bear their own burden. And you'll find that's going to come out as you're trying to take the gospel out. Take it out with what's in your backpack. It might be fixing someone's flat tire. Jason, it might be just, you know, it's like, you're like, man, he's broken down. I'll go. I'm on my way already. It's like these simple things that we think are just, you know, well, they're just works. Yeah, but you know what? If it's the burden of the Lord, it's easy for you. And Jesus said, look, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Let me close with this one verse. 2 Corinthians 4:17. When you say, well, how light is light? Because I'm looking for easy. I'm looking for light like I don't even know it's there. Well, let's make it comparative, okay? We find understanding Scripture. We talked about this yesterday in the prophetic group, how God uses comparison and contrast to help us understand certain words and certain things. And so to help us finally understand this whole thing, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul uses the same word, light and heavy. So in contrast, we'll actually understand more about really how light the backpack of Jesus is for you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, he goes, so we don't lose heart. You know, a message like this is designed, I hope, that you don't lose heart. In the midst of crisis and economic meltdown and an election year and all the nonsense, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away and our inner nature is being renewed day by day. That's when you come to Jesus. It renews your inner nature, your soul. He renews it. And he says, look, for this light, uses that same word, it's the same word, alaphros in the Greek, the same word that Jesus says, my burden is light. And Paul says, look, this light, momentary affliction. You go, excuse me, Paul? What is there about affliction that's light? This light, momentary affliction. This is when you put on your eternal glasses and stop and look to the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, what am I going under? See, affliction will cause a burden on you. You'll get burdened down by it. Affliction brings burdens. Afflictions will bring baros, weight on you. It's too much for you. And yet Paul says, listen, this light, momentary affliction is working for us, watch this, an eternal weight of glory. He contrasts light affliction with the weight of glory. And that's the word baros. Do you understand that the glory of God is too much for a human to carry? It's too much right now in our humanness. In our mortalness, the glory of God in one dose would crush you. It's too much. But he says, in the process of going through burdens and burden bearing and going through afflictions, listen, he says, watch the play on words. Momentary light working eternal weight. Okay? It's momentary. He said, I've had this pain in my back for 6 years. Momentary. Sorry. In light of eternity, it's momentary. It's momentary. This momentary light affliction is working for us. I love that word. It's where we get the word energy. Do you know when Christ is involved with your burden and with your affliction, and when you come to him and learn from him, there's a divine energy you get to touch to get you through it. That's what we call simply grace. That's when you touch grace. He gives you grace. He says, it works for us, watch, and something eternal that you can't touch right now. It's too heavy, but he's working in you a preparation, another translation of that, he's preparing for us an eternal weight, baros, of glory, watch, beyond all comparison. Folks, I don't know about you, that jazzes me up. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. That's what keeps me going. That's what will make you want to share the good news. That will get you through your affliction. That will get you through heavy burdens. It'll get you through, because if you know what God is preparing for you, an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison, beyond anything you've gone through. And here's the last key, verse 18. Here's the key. How do you do that? Go right back to the beginning, the prophetic stance. That's what the prophets did. He says, well, we look not at the things that are seen. You see, if you're looking in the wrong place when you're going through affliction and difficulty and burden bearing, if you're looking at the things that are only seen, like the prophet said, how long are you going to put up with this, God, this violence? He goes, stop, stop, stop. You're looking at the wrong place. Look up. Look up, prophet. Look. Look to the Lord. He goes, oh, I need to look to the Lord. And that's what Paul said. Look, we don't look at the things that are seen, but we look to the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are just temporal, temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. Church, God has given us the privilege of what I call eternal eyes. We can see things that nobody else, no other humans can see on the planet. The Buddhists can't see them, the Hindus, nobody else can see them, because God opens our eyes and lets us see what he's doing, lets us participate in what he wants by giving us his burden, which is light compared to all of eternity. Don't leave here today without the burden of the Lord. I want to pray for you. I believe there's some of you here this morning that today it's a revelation. You're going, golly, I didn't know I had a backpack. It's like, congratulations. You've got your backpack. You found it. For some of you, it's like, I didn't know I had it. Others, you're like, ah, I slipped it off one time when it was just like I didn't want to deal with it. I wanted to park my backpack and sit on the back row and just attend services. I didn't want to participate in what God was doing. I needed rest. And yet you're still not at rest because you were in your own yoke. You put the yoke of, I can do this myself, and I'll just get out of church business for a while and find until I'm rested. And you know what? You're still not rested, because Jesus said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Some of you just need to get back in the yoke of Christ and see him yoked with you, doing all the heavy pushing. He's doing the heavy pushing, and you should be gleefully going, woo-hoo, this is fun. Some of you have been overburdened because religion and expectations of other people, and I think you should be doing this, and you should be doing that, and if you saw yourself a Christian, then you should be, and people have been stuffing things in your backpack, and you are overburdened, and Jesus said, come to me. Let's sort out your backpack today. Might go home today or tomorrow, just sometime this week. Dump it out and say, Lord, help me here. What do I keep in the backpack, and what do I just need to offload? Because God wants to do some amazing things, like he told the prophet. I'm about to do some amazing things that if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And so what God's saying, get your backpacks in order. I'm about to put some stuff in there. That you wouldn't believe it if I told you, so get ready. Get ready. Let every affliction, every burden be a preparer of the eternal weight of glory. Do you know how you're going to touch the eternal weight of his glory even in the next few weeks as you process evangelism as one of the most glorifying things you can do for your Savior is to share what he did for those that don't know yet. That's called sharing the gospel. Praying. This ought to stimulate your prayer life. This ought to churn you. Sensitivity. When the burden of the Lord comes, I'm going to pray. It's not long drawn out. Sometimes it can be, but it can just say, God, I got to carry this. Carry the burden for the lost. Carry the burden to reach your city and the nations. Carry it with your voice. You get to touch the eternal weight of his glory. Reminder, don't get caught up in your circumstances. Don't get caught up in what you see. Look not at what is seen, but look at the things that are unseen. Do you know where you'll see that? It's a little trick, but I'm just going to tell you, in this book. How do I look at things unseen? They're all here, right here. This will open your eyes to the unseen realm, because this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the pages of Scripture is the face of Christ. We behold his glory as we look into his face, which is right here. The Word became flesh. Amen. God bless you.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.